From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
All right, welcome into the show. I'm Rob Parker here, your host, you there, and we got a great show coming ahead for you, including Baseball Hall of Famer, former Red shortstop, Barry Larkin. He is coming by. Plus, we'll talk with Jesus Ortiz from La Vida Baseball. Plus, so much more. Let's go.
Batter up!
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
The Yankees got their ace pitcher, Luis Severino, back. On Tuesday, he had been missing all season long, and yes, he's back for the Yankees just in time for the playoffs in his return. He pitched against the Los Angeles Angels and pitched four innings, gave up no runs, two hits, a successful return. When you think he's missed the entire season, he had went down with shoulder inflammation and later suffered a strain. And while he was recovering, but he's back. The Yankees have to feel good as you go forward and you get closer to the postseason. That rotation, you remember they didn't make a trade to go get a starter at the trade deadline? Well, they got their man, their ace, a guy who started game one of the postseason for them a year ago, is back. And he looked good in four innings of shutout baseball on Tuesday night.
Number two.
All year, people have talked about the Houston Astros, all their good young players, everybody else, Springer, Bregman, everybody. You know who they forgot? They forgot Jose Altuve. You remember that guy, 2017 AL MVP? Well, he's back. Stop ignoring him. He has been unbelievable over the last 2.5 months. He's been a top 10 hitter in baseball. Altuve is batting .336, 18 home runs in 64 games since the start of July. He has been amazing. And my goodness, he couldn't come at a better time for the second half of the season. So he was gone. People weren't talking about Altuve. He had kind of fallen to the background a little bit. People weren't paying attention to him, but you got to pay attention to him, because that guy adds a huge dimension at the top of that lineup for that Astros team that is already loaded. So imagine the Astros are going to be even harder to knock out because Altuve is back to the way he was a couple of years ago when he was almost unstoppable.
Number three.
Pittsburgh Pirates closer Felipe Vasquez is in a heap of hot water and has been put on a leave of absence by Major League Baseball for being arrested for solicitation of a child and him being linked to a girl who is now 15 years old. Apparently, he met her 2 years ago when she was 13. So this is a story that is a bad story for Major League Baseball and Mr. Vasquez. It's just a shocking turn of events. He's been arrested and will not be pitching, and we will hear more about this, but this is a very, very serious and sad story.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast Hall of Famer, yes, Cincinnati Reds shortstop Barry Larkin. B. Larkin, man, what's happening? How you doing?
All good, Rob. Finishing up the season, working in the minor leagues with the Reds organization. Let a couple teams go to the playoffs. Pretty successful season. And just waiting for the big league boys to finish up.
Very nice. And as people, if you don't know, you better know, Barry Larkin, a 12-time All-Star. Of course, they won the World Series in 1990, NL MVP in 1995. Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, on and on and on. Number retired. He's a Hall of Famer. All right, Barry, a lot of things jump out in your career, and I just listed a ton of accolades, but in 1988, You led all major leaguers by striking out only 24 times in 588 at-bats. When you look at the strikeout numbers of today, is that not incredible? Do you even marvel at that, that you could be in the big leagues and only strike out 24 times in that many at-bats?
Well, it was something that was really personal to me. I hated to strike out. Strikeout meant the pitcher got me out as opposed to me getting myself out, and I didn't want to give any pitcher any credit or enough credit to say that you could get me out. And each and every out I made recorded was because I did something wrong, not that you did something right. So it was more of a personal thing to me. I see all the strikeouts now in the game, and it is what it is right now. I just couldn't see myself playing and striking out as much as many of these guys that don't even hit for power, don't hit home runs, but striking out 100, 120 times, and like it's no big deal. I can't fathom that, and just the competitiveness in me, there wasn't something I could deal with at all.
And I think that's the analytics that said it doesn't matter which way you make an out, I guess, right? Isn't that where it is? Because you would have been sent down to the minor league striking out the alarming rate that most guys are striking out these days.
This is true. Putting pressure on the defense, the fact that that I could run, the fact that, the fact that I played shortstop and how I felt when a guy that could run put the ball in play, regardless if he recorded an out or not, it puts some stress on the defense. So that was just my take on it. It's not something that I know that they input into the analytics. I don't know if you can quantify that, but I know any time that any guy that could run, put the ball in play with runners on base, or with nobody on base, just the fact that he can run, it made me as a shortstop shorten up or think about getting rid of the ball quicker. Anytime that guy could run with strikeout, it would just alleviate a lot of pressure and a lot of tension.
Barry, there's so many good young players out there. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Tatis Jr., Acuna Jr., I just can't get over. Who do you like out there with all these great young players we're starting to see in baseball?
Well, I like shortstop, so I think you can classify him still as a young shortstop, and Francisco Lindor. He's a guy I love watching. I love how he plays. I get a chance to work with him. I get a chance to work with D. Gordon to see those guys doing the things that they're capable of doing and doing it still. It's a marvel for me. I had a chance to work with Dante Bichette or Bo Bichette in Toronto, and he's amazing. And I had him play for my Brazilian team a few years ago, and hopefully he'll be playing in the WBC qualifier that we have coming up in March of this next year. To watch him do the things that he's doing and continue to get better, both offensively, defensively, is amazing. But the one outfielder that I love is Acuna Jr. He's amazing. I love watching him play. Him and Albies, I see the joy that he has and that they have. And, to see Atlanta doing so well. Those guys, the game is in great hands. The game is definitely entertaining. There's some great players out there, and, I'm still a fan.
I'm with you. It's just amazing. And how about all of you were just mentioning Bichette's son, but there's so many players who have sons in the big leagues. Why is that? Is that because guys just were able to have, get their kids into it early or be around baseball, get the right training and stuff? It just seems like there's been an explosion of former players' kids playing in the big leagues.
Well, I'm telling you, Toronto has the market on it. They got Bichette, and they got Guerrero, and they got Gavin Biggio also.
Right, they got three.
Probably a couple more somewhere. So, I don't know. My son happens to be playing basketball. He didn't want to play baseball.
I was going to ask you about Shane. Tell me, did he ever want to play baseball or no?
Shane played baseball as a youngster.
Okay.
And he had a pretty bad experience. Pete Rose, Tony Perez, taught him how to hit. And when he went to go play for Little League coach, the coach told him whoever taught him how to hit didn't know what they were talking about.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a true story.
Is that right?
And he just said, okay. And he just said, well, then I'll just do something else, and I'll play basketball. So, but junior son doesn't play baseball either. He plays football.
Wow.
So Ken Griffey Jr. So, yeah, I think it's all on the in the individual. I know that I took my son to spring training, and I had aspirations of my son actually playing baseball and doing the things that I did, just like I wanted to do what my father did.
No doubt. Hey, last thing, Barry. It was back in 1992, the infamous Lou Piniella-Rob Dibble fight in the locker room was today, back in 1992. You remember that very vividly, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do.
that video, oh, yes, Barry, you have a towel on, and these guys are scrapping, and you're, like, trying to break it up, trying to make sure that towel stays on. That was someday.
Yeah.
I could still remember that.
I had to prioritize real quick because I didn't know that there were cameras in the clubhouse at that time, but somebody certainly got a picture of it, and I think that had I not prioritized that little cover that I had on, it might have been a little different career for me. So
I think you're right, man. You were a smart man. Hold on to that
indeed.
Towel during the fight. His name
Absolutely.
Is Barry Larkin. The Hall of Famer, Cincinnati Red shortstop. Hey, Barry, thank you so much for joining the podcast. Appreciate you.
All right, Rob. Thanks for having me, bro.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What you got for us, Anthony?
Well, when we talk about five-tool players, what does that mean? The player hits for average, power, fields his position, has a great arm, and runs well. I like that last one. But it's not just about stolen bases. Base running runs, or BSR, is a metric developed by Fangraphs that turns stolen bases, caught stealings, and other base running plays like taking the extra base in one handy metric. And it also makes up the base running component of wins above replacement, or WAR. The stolen base component weighs large here because of run probability. A stolen base is great, but if you get caught, it does way more damage to your team than successfully snagging that extra bag, because it not only removes a base runner, but it also adds an out. Basically, what it comes down to is you need to be successful at stealing bags at least two-thirds of the time to positively impact your team, which is tough for runners who work in volume. You can also use sprint speed to see which players are better at going from first to home on a double or second to home on a single, for example. Now, the leaderboard works like WAR. There is a league baseline which every player is measured against. Therefore, a base running run score, or BSR score, of 5 is considered great, while anything below 0 is considered poor. Now, this year, the Orioles' Jonathan Villar leads all of baseball with a BSR of 9.5, thanks to an 82% stolen base success rate, 35 for 43. Bringing up the rear, the Tigers' Miguel Cabrera, minus 6.4, Rob. Miggy doesn't get around much anymore.
All right, Anthony, we appreciate you. Stay well.
And what that ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up?
I don't believe it. My, oh, my.
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
J.R., is it foul or fair to say that the Brewers can't make the playoffs without Christian Yelich in the lineup for the rest of the season?
That's foul.
That is a foul ball.
Not having Christian Yelich is going to hurt Milwaukee, but it's not like their last 12 games will be against Juggernaut. They have 3 games against San Diego, 3 against the Pirates, 3 against the Reds, and 3 against the Rockies, I believe. All of those teams pretty much stink. So, yeah, they're funky. Funky like my grandma's drawers in the middle, immortal words of Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest. But under normal circumstances, I say it's over. But the Cubs are having problems with injuries as well, and Milwaukee's been on fire lately. It's possible they could grab the wild card, but without the potential 40-40 guy in the lineup, the chances of Milwaukee doing anything in the playoffs is probably equal to the chances that Lonzo Ball will ever wear a big baller brand sneaker again. Zero.
Awesome, my man.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
I thought about it for a minute. I was thinking about putting the Atlanta Braves in the third spot, bumping out one of the big three. Coming into Tuesday, the Braves were 93-58. The Braves took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals. That's 5 out of 7 from their NL East rivals this past month. And, of course, Ronald Acuna Jr. has been on fire. Unbelievable. He has 39 home runs, 36 stolen bases. But you know what? I didn't do it. I put the Dodgers on the third best team. They are 97-54. They are vying with the Yankees and the Astros for the best record, home field advantage come postseason time. And I have to give the Dodgers the third spot. We know they clinched their 7th straight division title. Their starting pitching got out of their mini slump. We saw Kershaw just give up 2 runs on 4 hits and 6 in the 3rd innings to the Mets. And the Dodgers are the third best team in baseball.
Number two.
It's the Houston Astros, 98-53 coming into Tuesday. They are tied with the New York Yankees for the best record in baseball. And the Astros, top to bottom, they have 2 guys in Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander vying for Cy Young in the National League. They have a lineup that's out of this world. They continue to do everything that you would want them to do. Also, outfielder George Springer. Everybody knew he had a lot of power because he's averaged 28 home runs over the past 3 seasons. But he's having a really a special year this year. And Springer could reach 100 runs scored for the 4th consecutive year as well. So he's definitely one of the top leadoff hitters in the game. And while people love the Astros, I still have them as the 2nd-best team in baseball.
Number one.
The number one team in baseball, it's the New York freaking Yankees. I've been saying this since week 1 or 2 or 3 or whatever it was. As of Tuesday, they were 98-53, tied with the Astros for the best record in baseball. It's a big deal. It's got to be a big deal when you think about it because it will be about home field and it could mean the difference in a big game 7 that could decide a series. But come on, the Yankees this past week, the injury bug continues to hit them. Gary Sanchez was out with tightness in his left groin. Edwin Encarnacion was out with an oblique injury. Giancarlo Stanton still hadn't been back yet, but they still keep winning. They still keep winning. How? The Astros have everybody. They're loaded. And the Yankees are neck and neck with them. It's an incredible thing. The Yankees are the best team in baseball.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome into the podcast one of my favorite people, a guy I've known for a long time, Jesus Ortiz from La Vida Baseball. He edits it. Hey, what's happening?
Man, everything's going well. Just excited for this playoff race. Who's going to be the who's going to have the best record in baseball? Dodgers, Yankees, Astros? That's the big thing over here in Houston right now, home field advantage.
No doubt about it. Let's talk about those Astros. I mean, it's been pretty amazing. You know, they won the World Series 2 years ago. They go out, and they got a great team, a lot of young stars, a lot of, you know, veterans who were there when they won the championship in 17. What about the Astros and their chances?
I tell you what, you've covered a lot of baseball, Rob. Carlos Correa is batting 7th in this lineup.
Amazing.
What is he? one of the best shortstops in baseball. He returns from the injured list today, and he's batting seventh. That's how deep this lineup is. You know, I've covered a lot, you know, a lot of Hall of Famers, you know, with the Mets, Mike Piazza, you know, with the Astros, Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio. I've never seen a young talent look so dominant, quite like Jordan Alvarez from Cuba. 22 years old, total stud, has already set. I mean, this kid didn't come up till mid-June to the majors, and he's already set the franchise record for home runs by a rookie. His RBIs are on pace to break everybody else's in big league history based on games as a rookie. Amazing designated hitter. Alex Bregman, don't laugh at me, but I think he deserves serious consideration to be the American League MVP over Mike Trout.
I think he's getting some traction and people see that. Even though Trout had an unbelievable year, he's out for the rest of the year and he's on a bad team that's not going to the playoffs. So I don't think that that's far-fetched.
No, absolutely not. You know, old school, you know, when I started covering baseball, you were already covering for a while, but old school, Trout wouldn't have gotten the attention, right, because he's not on a winning team. And you give the edge to Bregman, but with analytics now and wins above replacement, you still would get a lot of people still give the edge to Mike Trout. But I tell you what, this kid Bregman is special. He's a leader. The way he carries himself, he has this nice combination of confidence, almost arrogance, while not being a total jerk. And the ultimate team guy, you know, learned how to speak Spanish so he could communicate and be part of that infield community. And you know how big that is. And to be honest, Jose Altuve steal the glue to that infield. And, you know, we haven't even mentioned him. That's the 2017 MVP, who's been one of the best hitters in baseball in the second half of the season. I mean, this team is just flat-out stacked.
Let's switch over to Big Poppy, who made a return to Fenway Park throughout the first pitch during the Yankees-Red Sox series. How amazing was it to see him be back on the baseball diamond?
Amazing, heartwarming. You know, I still remember the night when he got shot and just the craziness. You larger than life. You think if you're in the Dominican, nobody's going to mess with Big Poppy, right? And just to see him back, he's much thinner. He truly, you know, I'll never forget the story that we commissioned a story as a Dominican, and just what he told the nurses, the begging, the desperation, save me, I'm a good person.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that he is a good person. He's been a good steward. He's been, tell me, you've covered baseball for a long time. Have you ever seen a Latino ball player who wasn't born in the United States become the face of the city, of a city, quite like Big Poppy in any sport?
No, I agree.
Quite like Big Poppy in Boston.
No, I agree with that. I mean, and he was beloved in Boston, as we know, and around the country. One last thing from you. All right, give me the biggest young Hispanic ball player out there who's the next big thing. There's so many. I mean, who do you think is that guy who is really going to be the next big star, Trout-like?
Acuña. Acuña, I had dinner with a Brave Scout just a couple of days ago, and I literally said I would take Acuña over Trout. I just hope he hustles like Trout hustles. But Acuña is the next face of baseball. That dude is amazing, great ball player. He just needs to hustle. He needs to quit making those silly mistakes And ironically, you know, we did a story with his dad a couple years ago, and his dad talked about how not hustling derailed his minor league career. This guy's one of the best players in baseball. But I tell you, with this rookie class, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., I'd probably take Tatis Jr., but don't tell anybody in Houston. But Jordan Alvarez is, you know, with the BBWA, we can't say who we would vote for on our votes. But I do have a Rookie of the Year award, but I'd be hard-pressed not to vote for Jordan Alvarez.
No doubt about it. So much good talent. His name, Jesus Ortiz, my man from La Vida Baseball. And you know what? We appreciate you joining the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the invitation. You know I love you, Rob.
Love you back. No doubt.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
Here's why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. Here we are with a few weeks left in the regular season. And guess what? Earlier this year, the Minnesota Twins have broke the all-time home run record, which was set by the New York Yankees in 2018 at 267 home runs. The Twins have 287 home runs as of Tuesday. But guess what? They're not out of the woods. We have a home run race here at the end of the season to enjoy as teams jockey for playoff position. They also can break the record. As of Tuesday, the Yankees are just one home run behind at 286. Don't stop there. The Houston Astros at 262 home runs are in the mix. So are the Los Angeles Dodgers at 261 home runs. So when this season ends, think about it. Four current teams could wind up with five of the best six home run records for a single season by a team. That's right. Four teams are in the mix to break the record with weeks to go. I can't think of anything you could talk about in the NBA or the NFL that would be that exciting as we reach the final weeks of a season. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.